Nehemiah 4 and verse 15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bear the burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. You may be seated tonight. Look in your Bible, if you will. Our text is verse 19 in this section of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Now I want to take this section tonight. If you'll follow along with me, I want to preach tonight about the wonderful work of God. The wonderful work of God. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, we're so thankful that you let us have this time together. Thank you for the wonderful time of testimonies and gladness, tears and praises. And thank you, God, tonight we have a house of worship, a house where we can come and offer sacrificial praise and adoration and gladness to the Lord who saved us and has been so good to us. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd illuminate the pages of God's precious word. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of the greatest work in all the world, the wonderful work of God. I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord, will accompany the preaching of God's precious word. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd send it like an arrow to the heart of God's people. May it be a meal for the hungry tonight. May it be a cool drink of refreshment for a thirsty soul here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us have esteem and, Lord, the realization in our hearts that we are part of the wonderful work of God. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that Jesus be magnified even further, that before we say the last amen, that he'll get glory and honor and praise for all that's done. For we ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you look at our text tonight, we have thus far viewed both the work of the enemy. We talked about the wiles of the enemy. And we've also been looking at the work of God's people there upon the wall. And even in the work of God, as God's abiding presence is evident in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And then the work of rebuilding the wall, God manifested his hand time and time again. And we noticed in the opening part of the chapter how that the enemy had expressed contempt to harass them. He mocked the Jews and he mocked the work and he tried to devalue the work of God. And then we also noticed how that the enemy exercised a conspiracy to harm them, tried to level deadly threats. And then even some among the work tried to give discouraging words. And so it's wonderful to look and see how far we've come thus far, how the work began, how it progressed, and how it pressed through every difficulty that Satan tried to throw at. If the work of God is accomplishing what God desires, it will have enemies. and it will be opposed. It will be opposed, as we shall see, not only from without. In the next chapter, we'll find out it is also opposed sometimes from within. Now, I want to say tonight, it's significant as you go through the book of Nehemiah that the word work, the word W-O-R-K, is found 21 times throughout the book of Nehemiah. In this chapter, the word work is found 7 times. Look in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible said, the work is great and large. And I'm glad tonight that God's work is a great work. Now I'm going to go through Nehemiah and look at these instances when the word work was used. And I found 7 significant instances where the word work was used in such a wonderful way that we can point out some things from it tonight. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I'm glad tonight God's work is a good work. Say amen right there. God's work is a good work. And then in Nehemiah chapter number 3, verse number 5, and next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. And so it's the work of their Lord. Don't ever forget tonight, it's not just your work, even though you are working in God's work, but it is the work of our Lord tonight. And so it's a good work. God's good work has some good workmen, and God has a work that he owns himself. And then Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible talks about this work here. It talks about, the scripture said, we return, the last phrase, all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. And I'm glad God lets us have a part in his work tonight. And I'm glad God lets you have a part in his work tonight. And it's a part of our lives. Not only that, it's what we live for. We live to work in the work of God. And then the Bible says in that verse we just read a moment ago in verse 19, the work is great and large. In chapter 6, verse number 3, here's what Nehemiah said. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down on to you? Now, I believe every Christian ought to be able to say that. I'm doing a great work. I'm telling you tonight, if you're serving God, if you're walking with him, if you're being obedient to God, then you tonight are doing a great work, just like the Bible said. And then the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the scripture said, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. This work was wrought of our God. This work had God's good hand upon it, had God's good touch and God's good power upon it. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse number 33. The last phrase said, for all the work of the house of our God. For all the work of the house of our God. And so I'm glad tonight it's his work. Thank God tonight. The work of God is the greatest work in all the world. That's why I'm preaching tonight on the wonderful, I said tonight, the wonderful work of God. I found out through the years in serving him, in preaching and praying, and pressing on in the battle tonight, that God's work has 2 indispensable keys that must be present in his work. And these keys enable the work of God to press on through every difficulty, every distraction, every attempt to discourage it and to sidetrack it and to distract it. I'm thankful tonight that God has given his work 2 indispensable keys that keep his work on track and moving forward for God. Number 1, the first key to the work of God and its progress is the intervention of God. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 15, the Bible said, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. God had done something about the enemy's work. I'm glad tonight that God is still able to put down the enemies. And the intervening hand of God was seen throughout all of the rebuilding process. From the time Nehemiah began to pray until he made his trip and everything that takes place. Thank God, even at the finish. The Bible said in Nehemiah 6 and verse 16, they perceived that this work was wrought of God. I want to say this to you tonight. You might as well get out on the train tracks and stare a locomotive in the face that's wide open in throttle as to try to stand in the way of the work of God. You might as well get up on top of this church and jump off and try to defy the laws of gravity as to try to stop the work of God. You might as well get out in the middle of 85 in the blackness and darkness of night and close your eyes and hold your hands out and expect not to be hit by a car. It's to try to stand in the way of the work of God. I'm glad God still has an intervening hand, and God brought the counsel of the enemies to naught. And it's my friend, God didn't let the devil and his crowd stop the work of God. Amen. And you say, preacher, how do you see it? Well, God's good hand was involved in this work from the very start. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 8, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. That is, God answered prayer in Nehemiah's life. And thank God, God enabled him to have what he needed in order to start to work. And Nehemiah told them that the good hand of God was upon him. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, I told them of the good hand of God which was good upon me. And then he said, they said, let us rise up and build. And he said in verse number 20, he said, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. And so the first thing God did in Nehemiah's life is through that season of prayerful preparation is that God gave him favor in the sight of the king. And God opened up all the doors. And God supplied the needs to return to the land of his fathers. Aren't you glad God not only can give us favor in the sight of heathens, but he can also give us finances to aid us in beginning the endeavor. And God, through this king and the favor that God gave Nehemiah with this king, gave him supplies, gave him soldiers, and gave him special letters. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 7 through verse number 9. Hey, you say, preacher, what's all that? Thank God it's the good hand of God. That's the intervening power of a holy and a righteous and an almighty God tonight. I don't know what kind of God you're serving tonight, but I still serve a God. Hallelujah. It's got all power. I'm glad God's good hand is there evident in the star. God's good hand in the star. And then not only that, God's good hand also to stay in the work. Amen. A lot of people start, but they don't finish. A lot of people begin, but they don't ever make it to the finish line. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible said that God had brought their counsel and all. And God had given Nehemiah vigilance to be prepared for the enemy. And not only that, his divine hand had given victory over the enemies so that the workers stayed with the work. I want to say to you tonight, the devil can't do anything with somebody who will not quit. All the enemies can. Contempt of the work failed. They tried to mock them. They tried to make fun of them. And thank God, all it did was make Nehemiah pray. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4. Here they come with their awful mockery and their awful contempt for the work of God. And Nehemiah just went to God in prayer. And then they had that conspiracy to threaten them. And what did he do? Thank God, chapter 4, verse 9. He began to pray and to watch through it all. So the Bible said, God had brought the counsel of the enemies to naught. I want to say this to you tonight. God's good hand is still on his good works. Amen right there. I said God's good hand is still on his good work. Oh, you might tone it, you might threaten it, and you might level some tactics against it, but thank God it'll have no lasting effect on the work of the church as long as the intervening hand of God is upon it tonight. I'm glad all the efforts of the enemy fell flat to stop the work of God. Amen. That's exactly right tonight. In fact, when I look at this, I'm aware of the fact that what they did not affect Nehemiah's progress. Even Judah, who should have known better. Now, I thought about this today. The word Judah literally means praise. They should have been praising, but they were pooch mouth and discouraging. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. They should have been living up to their name, but they weren't living up to their name. They were discouraging the other workers. And by the way, Nehemiah doesn't do anything about their sad, sad story. Thank God. I'm glad, though, that God steps in. And the all-seeing eye of God is over the workers. He knows what the devil's doing. And you don't always know what the devil's doing. And I'm glad he's not escaped the all-seeing eye of God. I'm glad that all-seeing eye is not only over the work, but thank God it's over me. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Hallelujah tonight. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. And when you're over in a corner gossiping somewhere, God's got his eye on you. But thank God when I'm over somewhere in a prayer closet, somewhere praying, God has got his eye on me. Hallelujah. I'm glad the all-seeing eye of God is at work. And the unseen hand of God is stopping the enemy tonight. Don't you ever forget this, honey. We got a tremendous backer. Amen. Oh, somebody said, I want to go in business, but I need a financial backer. Hallelujah. Well, I could recommend mine to you, but I don't know if he'll partner with you because I don't know what your endeavor is. But I got a backer. Hallelujah. And listen tonight, he's not got any limitations except when it comes to sin. Hallelujah. He's got riches in glory. Thank God. His power is limitless. His work is wonderful. I'm glad the unseen hand of God is still at work. And the work of God tonight. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Psalm 118, verse number 16. Have the all-seeing eye of God. And thank God, the unseen hand of God. Have the unstoppable power of God. I'm telling you something tonight, we're serving one. Hallelujah. It's still able, thank God, to ensure that the work of God will not be defeated. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. And so Nehemiah gave them this assurance. Look at verse 20. In what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort it hither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. Now, it's wonderful when you got somebody that's backing you. And it's wonderful when you got somebody that's supporting you. And it's wonderful when you got somebody as big as God has promised to fight for you. Listen, friend, this is not the only one that God took up their case and their cause. Hallelujah, to fight on their behalf. Oh, there's Moses standing there at the Red Sea. Mountains on every side. Pharaoh breathing down his backside, my friend. And the Red Sea right in front of them. And Moses said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And about that time, the hand of God rolled back the Red Sea. And they walked over on dry ground, drowned Pharaoh's army. I'm telling you something tonight. There's still a God. Hallelujah. I said there's still a God that's able to meet our needs and to fight our battles and allow those of us who are attacked, thank God, to see our enemies defeated and also God's people to come out on the other side victorious. He can turn conflicts into conquest. He can turn attacks into victories. He can turn the tables on the devil and bless you from every corner. I'm glad tonight I serve a God that can still step in and divinely intervene in our situation. I'm thankful tonight for the divine intervention of God. Hallelujah. Now, not only does the work need divine intervention, but the work also needs the involvement of God's people. Amen. That's right. Now, we have no doubt that God is working, right? In the attacks of the adversaries, God is working. But I want to say this, there are some things that God is not going to do. God is not going to do what you can do. And you are not going to be able to do what God can do. And God's people worked and they kept on working. And they worked through every season of difficulty. And their involvement in the work is crucial. And listen tonight, it is really foolish for you to say, preacher, I love my church, but I like to see it grow. Everybody that's ever told me that does not show up on Thursday night visitation. Somehow you're missing a wire up here somewhere. Somehow if you believe you want your church to grow and you believe it does not include your involvement in the effort of going after souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got a wire off somewhere in your thinking process. And listen, those are people that are among the welfare Christians in our society. I want to tell you tonight, God still has a requirement and some requirements for you and I. Why, even in our Sunday school lesson for this Sunday, Jesus said several times, you cannot be my disciple. Now, that's not popular language in this hour. You say people don't like to be told they can't do or be certain things. But our God is a God that has requirements. I said our God is a God that has requirements. And you see, this generation of Christians wanting to try to say they are something without being something. They want to talk about something without being it, rather than being something without having to talk about it. Oh, but I want to tell you something tonight. God's people in this work had a mind to work. Chapter 4 and verse number 6. For the people had a mind to work. And you can't stop a person who has a mind to work. And the Bible teaches us they had a heart to pray. Chapter 4, verse number 9. I'm glad God still has some praying people. How the church can't press on without prayer warriors. And those that'll get along with God and pray a hole through the sky till God sends an answer now. And the people of God had an eye to watch. Chapter 4, verse number 9. They had an ear to listen for the trumpet sound of alarm. Oh, in these days, where are the trumpeters that are sounding the alarm in America? Our country is sin sick tonight. I said, our country is sin sick. It's a call to arms for believers tonight to pick up the sword. Get out of your lazy boy and start standing for God. I read today an email that came to me. And next year in the 2017 calendar school year, I think it is in Washington, the email said, they're going to start teaching transgenderism in the elementary schools. That means they're going to start teaching this philosophy that you are not what you were born as, whether you were born male or female, but you are what you identify as. That you are what you identify as. And that the gender you are, this new sodomite gender philosophy, it came out of the same slop jar that filled up Sodom with all that rot that it rotted with before God cauterized it with the fire from heaven. Say amen right there. Oh, I want to tell you, though, God's people had a mind to work, a heart to pray, an eye to watch, an ear to listen. And thank God they were listening for a trumpet sound, a call to alarm, a call, my friend, to prepare for war. And they not only had all that, but they had a will to persevere in the work. Let me say this tonight. It's going to take some perseverance for you to stay with it in the work of the Lord. You say, well, I don't like everything's going on. By the way, welcome to life. I mean, you don't like everything your wife does. And I'm sure she don't like everything you do. You figured out that it's not all about ideal circumstances, right? You figured out it's not all about the comfort zones of life that you live in. But you realize that the involvement in the work defines their character. And it also is a key to survival and success in the work of God. And you and I, they're saved tonight, have to be involved in God's work. Listen, it's not about what you can witness and spectate. It's about what you can do. Hallelujah. Ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. And I'm telling you tonight, we have raised an entire welfare society. And that welfare mentality has made its way into the church house in our hour so that somebody wants everything to be done for them. And they don't want to take any responsibility for their actions, and they don't want to have any accountability for their works and their labor. And people that won't work, my friend, develop a philosophy in their mind that everybody owes them something. I want to tell you tonight, every person that's saved ought to be a worker in the wonderful work of God. And you know as a Christian that you ought to be involved in the church house. Oh, don't tell me I don't want to be involved. Listen, God has some workmen in the house of God. Amen. Now, what kind of work is it, preacher? Well, it's a personal work. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15. Everyone unto his work. The last phrase. Everyone unto his work. You see, after this realization came that God had brought the work of the enemies and their threats to naught, they got back where they'd blown at their place on the wall. It was a personal work because it was where they were working. It's the place where they were filling up the gaps and stopping the breaches and raising the walls. I'm telling you tonight, it's a personal work because God has put people into his work. Hallelujah. And I notice this in the New Testament. You know, Paul called the gospel, he called it our gospel. That's because God gave it to us so we can give it to someone else. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's a personal work. And you know what? It's the greatest work in all the world. Listen, what God has left you here to do is an important work. God has not left you here to ride as a freeloader and let somebody else pay the bills. Help me out right here now. I said, God has not left you here to ride as a freeloader while everybody else pays the bills. You know what? It should not be that you don't have a tithe record at Unity Baptist. Because you know what? I believe anything worth being a part of is worth supporting. And unless the cancer of covetousness is eating away on the inside of you, and unless you're more in love with your money than you are with God, and unless you're a bow-legged, two-faced hypocrite, that you ought to be a supporter of the work here at Unity Baptist Church. Oh, it's a personal work. It ought to be your work. It ought to be something you're so much a part of. And if somehow it got pulled out of you, part of you would die. I'm telling you tonight, it's a personal work. And not only that, it's a protective work. Verse number 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the hammergans, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. You see, what happened is that Nehemiah set the people all around the wall. He gave them weapons in verse number 13. And now he takes his own personal servants that were working with him and around him. He divided them in half. He made half of them guards and half of them workers on the wall, and half of them were watching with their weapons, and the other half, my friend, were laboring in the work of God. And I want to say this, God's work is worth protecting. It's worth protecting. It's worth protecting so that it ought to be pure. It ought to be pure. That's right, it ought to be pure. So the people that are a part of it ought to be pure in their living. I didn't say sinless, I said pure. You ought to perfect holiness. You know, when I started out 30 plus years ago, personal holiness was a key feature of the Independent Baptist movement. It was. Personal holiness. And you could go in a restaurant and you could pick out the Christian ladies. Oh my, I'm in deeper than I ever have been. And you could tell the men from the women. I still believe there ought to be some old paths that we ought to still travel. And you know, I went to a meeting one time and a preacher and his wife got up to sing. And I had turned my head. You said, why? Because her skirt was so mini, I had turned my head. And I thought to myself, you know, he's going to preach in a little bit. I don't know all he's going to preach on, but I know what he's not going to preach on. You say, I don't understand. Let's just add it up. If his wife's wearing it, he ain't going to preach on it. That's exactly right. I don't know what he's going to preach on, but I know what he's not going to preach on. I don't know what he's going to deal with, but I guarantee you he's not going to deal with modesty. By the way, I didn't make that up. That's in the Word of God. Amen, that's right. Now let's go on. We're talking about protecting the work of God. Now how are we protecting it? We're protecting it so that purity has a priority in our lives. We pray and we watch and we protect the progress of the work of God. And the Bible teaches us this work is a personal work. It's a protective work. This work is a persevering work. Hallelujah. Now look in your Bible. Look in Nehemiah chapter 4. Everybody still with me? Say amen. Amen. Verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear the burdens, with those that laid it. Sounds like the work's going on it. Now, Judah said in verse 10, we are not able. And they spoke on behalf of the whole congregation. But they didn't have any authority to speak on behalf of the whole congregation. Not only that, they were wrong. Too bad we don't hear them apologizing here, because they were wrong. You say, how do you know they were wrong? Well, we just heard in verse 10 that they couldn't do it and the burden bearers couldn't do it. Guess what they're doing in this verse? They're doing it. In the verse just above that, the house of Judah is still on the wall. Sounds like they didn't quit either. Now, I'm glad they didn't quit. But I want to tell you this. If you become a discourager, God help you. You ought to be an encourager to the work of the Lord. Hey, you ought to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Judah had complained they were not able. And yet, my friend, the builders and the burden bearers are still working. Thank God the work is still going on. In fact, they got the sword by their side. They got the work tool in their hand. And the burden bearers are still carrying the load. Hallelujah. They persevered in spite of the temptation to be discouraged and quit. Amen. They stayed with the work. Aren't you glad they did? And not only is it a persevering work, but it's a pressing work. For the builders, verse 18, had every one his sword girded by his side. And so building. Now, the enemies had, at this point, ceased their attempts to stop the work. But that doesn't mean Nehemiah lets up in his vigilance. Amen. Don't ever stop watching. Because in this chapter, not only is he working, but the Bible said everyone had a sword girded by his side. Verse 17 said, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So they're building and they're battling. But the enemy is not stopping. All you got to do is flip one page and go to chapter 6, and you'll find out that the enemies never give up. They never give up. And I want to say this to you tonight. It requires constant vigilance. They have the tool. And Charles Spurgeon, I think, put it this way. And he coined this phrase. They had the trowel in one hand so they could lay that mortar and form that wall. And they had the sword in the other hand. The sword and the trowel. And then one man had a trumpet that was by his side. And that man was beside of Nehemiah. Verse number 18. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So they had the sword, the trumpet, and the trowel. Now all three of these are types and pictures of the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know one thing I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad we don't have to make this up as we go. I'm glad we don't have to say, well, brother, what do you think? Sister, how do you feel? What do you think about this? What do you think about? Because I tell you what, we'd be so confused when we got done. We'd be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. In this pressing work, what are they doing? All three of these instruments are pictures of the Word of God. The trumpet is for a call to battle, sounding the alarm. The Bible said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare to battle? Oh, I'm telling you what, the Word of God is our call to arms, our charge to stand up in the battle. Listen, if you know your Bible, you know we are in a battle. And then there is the trowel. It's a tool for edification or building up. And thank God the Bible will build you up. Amen. It certainly will. And then there's the sword. And you know the sword is for warfare. It is for earnestly contending for the faith. Amen. So there's a constant vigilance. The shofar, the ram's horn would be blown, and they would be called to the place of battle if the enemy attacked where they were. There is also not only this thing of a constant vigilance, but also a continued diligence in the work. Look at verse 21. Here's what the Bible said. So we labored in the work. I showed you this in the introduction of Nehemiah. That word so is one of the key words in the book of Nehemiah. But notice this text. So we labored in the work. Now I know the scripture does not say, but I guarantee you there were some that quit in the process of building the wall. The one thing that I like about Nehemiah is when Judah flapped their jaw and said stupid stuff, you know what he did? Not a thing. He just kept on working. And when these, my friend, came to try to mock and do things against the work, you know what Nehemiah did? He went to God in prayer and he pressed on in the work. Now I'm glad he keeps on laboring. And that little word so comes out again, because in this instance it marks the continued diligence of those who labor on in spite of difficulty and distractions and the attacks of the enemy. Just keep on laboring on. Hallelujah. And then they commit to reside there at Jerusalem. That is, in verse 22 and 23, Nehemiah asked some of them to lodge within Jerusalem, to come there and stay. By the way, nothing can be accomplished if you don't stay. And there is a stick-to-itiveness. You know, the one thing about a postage stamp is it sticks till the letter is delivered. I like it, don't you? And that's what Nehemiah said, come in and stay here in Jerusalem and remain within the city during these days. They did it in such a tremendous way that they kept their work clothes on unless they were going to wash. This verse is not saying they didn't take a bath. It's saying they kept their work clothes on and they stayed in the work. They resided there. They stayed with the work. They stayed with it. I said they stayed with the wonderful work of God. Amen. You and I tonight, listen, let me tell you this tonight. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to want to quit. I was in a meeting one day, and honestly, an older preacher chastised this younger man because he said something about wanting to quit. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder if we could just trail you down some few days when you were out there at the edge, and the old devil said to you, why don't you just give this up? It's too much aggravation, too much heartache. And Satan's going to give you 1,000 reasons why you ought to quit. He certainly is. You better hear what I'm saying now. You're going to have to plant your feet and make up your mind that you're going to stay with God. Amen. We say, well, so-and-so quit, so-and-so quit. So what? They don't have to face God to judgment like you do. They got to face God for what they do. And a lot of them live like they don't believe they're going to have to face God. I promise you that. The way they run their mouth and live their life, they don't act like they believe they're going to face God. Because a lot of them lie like a stinking dog. Let me move on from there, but just to say this. I got to give an account to God for what Tommy Winslow is doing. And I got to stay with the work. And if I don't stay with the work won't go on and it won't progress. Amen. Boy, there's been a many a day, no doubt, the devil's come to a lot of us. I was thinking about Brother Tim, Miss Barbara. A lot of times laboring in far away places. And a lot of times where there's not a whole lot of people to pat them on the back when they get finished with their labor and their work. And probably many times when they piled in that old truck to go from one job to another and one ministry effort to another, oh, the old devil's probably told them, why don't you move back somewhere else and build you a house? Set you up a little nice place and do some of this work for yourself. Boy, I tell you what, there's been a whole lot of times when the old devil's come by and say, you know what, you're doing pretty good down there in the business world. That old heathen boss man took real good care of you. In fact, sometimes on Friday afternoon, if we did real good, Brother Mark, he'd come by with a gift certificate, enough for me to take my wife out and get her a steak. Amen. I'm not talking about chicken nuggets. I'm talking about a steak. And I'd come home on Friday, and I'd say to my wife, I said, hey, look what I got. She said, oh, my, we eat steak tonight. Well, you like steak, don't you? I'm not talking about bologna. I'm talking about steak. Man, she said, oh, we're going to get a steak tonight. I said, yeah. And the old devil would say, you know what? You'd be better off. You wouldn't have all this aggravation, all this stuff. If somebody just get sideways, just fire them. Just fire them. I mean, you don't show up for work. You just say, you know what? You got two chances on the third one. You stay home. It's a lot more cut and dried than it is in church work. They lay home service after service, and it don't matter. Help me out here, church. Don't be afraid of some slacker that won't come to church. Hey, that ain't my fault. Don't look at me like it's my fault, and it ain't my problem. It's your problem. You got to answer to God for that. I can't bring you to church. All I can do is put the food on the table when you get here. And I want to tell you this tonight, many times, no doubt, the old devil comes by and say, you know what, you could do a whole lot better financially if you just do something else. But I wouldn't be on the wall, and I wouldn't be doing what God wanted me to do. And when the trumpet sounded, I wouldn't want to meet the one who called me to do what I'm doing now. What do you got to do? You got to commit to reside. Stay with it. You got to commit to endure hardness as a good soldier. A lot of people give up when the going gets tough. But I want to say this to you tonight. It's not always going to be easy. In fact, if you're on the front lines for God, it is rarely easy to do what you need to do for our blessed Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day when it's going to be worth it. There's going to be a day, hallelujah, there's coming a day when it's going to be worth it to know that you are committed to the work of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight.